very grateful to Fawn for all of her work in the parish and the way that you support her in her ministry, but your ministry for the ministry for all of you, and the way that you live out the gospel here in Powell River. So when I was a theological student, so before I was ordained, I was placed in the small town of Tobermory in Ontario at the Anglican Church of St. Edmunds. Now, if you don't know, Tobermory is at the northern end of what's called the Bruce Peninsula and had some similar features, actually, to Powell River. It's a beautiful setting of trees and rocks and beautiful, clear swimming and boating water. It was at the end of the line, really, for the highway, except that a ferry also came and went from there to sites farther north. People came to the town of Tobermory seeking or searching for all sorts of things, some of which they knew at the time and others they discovered after many years. A large number of tourists would come for a short time and end up living their life there. It was on a lake, a great lake nonetheless, but a lake, Lake Huron. And the population of this popular summer town would explode in the warmer months and then quickly diminish come Labor Day. And there I was, as a student, feeling completely unsure of my role and my ability, mostly in charge of this little church nestled in the midst of trees right on the edge of this great lake. And so I got to work on all sorts of things, and mostly the people of the parish were pretty patient with me as I was attempting to grow into the life of a parish priest. They knew that I had much to learn, but I was pretty sure that I had learned a lot. We both decided that the other was right. Looking back, I know that there are times where I felt completely out of my depth. Like on this one day, when I was leading a Bible study in the little parish hall. It was a warm, sunny day, and it was good to be in the cooler temperatures inside. Just when we were moving into a deep discussion of this certain passage, the doors of the hall burst open, and in rushed this young man. He shouted out, "I need to be baptized." Everyone in the group looked at each other, looked over at the young man, and then looked at me. I wasn't sure where to begin or what to say, but I invited him in. The Bible study group quietly packed up their things and they made for the exit. They knew that a longer conversation was needed. I talked to this fellow for a long while. He had much to say. He was worried about his life. He was worried about some of the decisions he had made and some other ones he might make. He was worried that his life was going down an erroneous path. He wanted his life to start again. He found a Bible in the place that he was staying and had started to read. And he had kept reading until he came to that church on that day. He knew that he needed a new beginning. He knew of God's presence in his life, and he knew that God was calling him to something else. We met a number of other times, and soon he was baptized. And those beautiful words of our baptismal service were said with him and for him. Receive the light of Christ to show that you have passed from darkness to light. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. A number of us are searching, looking, wondering where God is working and what God might be calling or inviting us to be and to do. Perhaps you've known this for yourself, or maybe you just heard people speak about it. But God's grace and holy presence is not limited to only a certain few, but is showered upon all of us. Sometimes we pay attention, and sometimes we're just too busy to notice. God is a wasteful sower of seeds, and that image has greatly strengthened my faith and my theology. In the gospel passage, you will remember that Jairus came to Jesus and begged Jesus repeatedly to come to his deathly ill daughter. Now remember that Jairus was one of the leaders of the synagogue. This was an important and a faith-filled person, one who had studied the scriptures well and carefully. But his heart was breaking, and he sought out God's hope and God's grace despite his knowledge and his position in the society. He came to Jesus seeking healing. But I've discovered, and I'm sure that you have as well, that healing comes in many parts. There's the physical healing that we often spend the most time pondering, but there are other layers to it as well. The layers where we start to discover more about the presence of God in our lives, where we discover the limitless grace and peace that God pours upon us on a full-time basis, where we come to see that a knowledge of the abiding presence of God in our lives, in our thinking, in our praying, in our vision of who we are called to be, transforms and it changes us. Where we come to see that we don't always have to have all the answers, but we need to open our eyes to see and to know that we live in the kingdom of heaven in this world and not just in the next. There was also this woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for something like 12 years. It affected every part of her life and her living. And yet somehow she knew that if only she could touch the clothing of Jesus, she would be made well. She just had to reach out, to reach beyond her current situation, to reach into hope and compassion, and a different vision of how God acts in this world. And she might just find the healing that had eluded her for so long. She reached out. And to make a long story short, soon Jesus was saying to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." She had come to touch his clothing and be healed of her dreaded ailment, and she had found this, but clearly something much more. She discovered something that she'd been deeply craving all of her life, a peace in her soul that spoke to all of the brokenness within her, that spoke to her sense of not being good enough to stand in God's presence, that ache within her that described her as less than. And into all of that, Jesus said, "Go in peace." For that woman, for Jairus, for his daughter, and for many others who came to Jesus for healing, they discovered that it involved much more than that. And sometimes we in the church don't understand this either. Sometimes, despite trying so hard to follow the path of this Jesus of Nazareth, we lose sight of what we're called to be and to do. That this Jesus came to offer us a forgiveness that goes beyond all brokenness. And that God is not a God intent on destroying us, but forgiving us, inviting us, involving us, engaging us, enabling us to be bearers of grace in this world. Too often we seem to forget that. We're living on a troubled planet. We're destroying the very ground on which we walk, the very ground on which we give thanks to God for blessing us with. And yet somehow we cannot live with simplicity and grace. other things seem to pull us in. Our treatment of indigenous people in this country is a deep wound for all of us. The discovery of the unmarked graves in Kamloops and Saskatchewan and other places remind us that a school centered on the love of Christ was not always revealing that. And sadly, it continues with murdered and missing women. Children continue to be taken from their families. Disproportionate numbers of Indigenous people are in prison or have health concerns or live without clean drinking water. The numbers of deaths due to drug overdoses in our province is disturbing. We can think it has nothing to do with us, or we can simply turn a blind eye, but surely we are called to live out a radical compassion, a message of peace, a teaching of love, a dedication to justice. Lately in the United States, there's been much discussion about whether the president of the country, a devout Roman Catholic, should be allowed to receive communion because of some of his views. The point has been missed once more. Not filled with grace and forgiveness and holy presence, communion, the Eucharist, is being used as a political tool. Tom Perriello, writing in the New York Times just recently, urged that some bishops should reflect on Pope Francis's message that communion is not the reward of the saints, but the bread of sinners. He also wrote that, "I pray that they ask what they must do to rebuild the moral authority that would have them offering communion to any of us." Harsh words, perhaps. But I cannot help but remember that a leader in a synagogue long ago came to Jesus begging for healing and hope, as did a woman who had been ailing for 12 years, as did a young girl who had died. And they all discovered what that young man discovered in Tobermory, Ontario, when he sought baptism, that the grace and love of God, the peace and soul-nourishing holy presence of God, the true bread of communion, the body of Christ are offered to all of us despite our mistakes, despite our errors, despite our failed attempts to do the right thing and live out the great command of loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And despite all of this, grace and peace are offered to us, are showered upon us, are set free in our soul. And in response, we are called to live this out in abundance. Despite the limitations that we may want to put upon it, God is a generous and wasteful sower of grace and peace and love. For we are offered food for our journey and our lives that feeds every aspect of who we are. Amen.